This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
We are Inside Black and Gold, bringing you the latest and greatest on the Saints as we get ready for Week 16 of March Madness, not distracting us at all. There's plenty of Saints action going on, still to keep you busy in the draft a month away.
How dare you bring up March Madness on this sad, sad day?
Don't get Danny Hurley on me.
Has been eliminated. Yes, Danny Hurley is going to attack you with words, and then you're going to get scared. And I don't know. He's so mean. He's so mean to people that they want to take away scholarships and
right.
Whatever. Whatever. We don't call travels anymore, apparently, in college. It's like, oh, it was fun. Let's not call it. Anyway, that's not what this is about. Y'all have survived. Florida survived, which means y'all have survived the insufferability that would have been me all week if UConn had upset Florida. So you don't have to hear about that, even though you are technically hearing about that. But it's going to end right now because we'll talk about it next year when the UConn wins the championship. anyway, okay. Saints. We're going to talk about the Saints. This is a podcast about the Saints. And, you know, it's been an interesting week for a few reasons, you know. So we're going to go through some of the news that has happened. We still haven't talked about Brandon Cooks. It happened on Friday, midday. So we'll get into a lot of that today. I want to talk about him in the second segment. So we'll get into a little bit of it in the first segment here. But mostly the second segment, we're going to have an interview with Brad Sham, who's the voice of the Cowboys. We'll play that. Had some interesting things to say. And also some quotes from Brandon Cooks himself, talking about coming back to New Orleans. We'll get into our takes about it, all that good stuff. Final segment, I want to get into, okay, what's left to do? Like, what do we see left on the agenda? I don't think there's a ton, but we'll dive into that. That'll be how we close it out. But this first segment, I want to get into kind of news notes, what happened this week. And, you know, so a couple signings, pro day with a big list of Saints attendees. We'll talk about that, whether trading up to number one is actually worth talking about. if we talk about it, then it is worth talking about because we're doing it. Right.
It's a whole multiverse together, right?
Yes. But first things first, the true gem of the offseason is going to tie everything together. The key, the missing piece to the Saints defense. Ugo Amadi's back, baby.
I know
everyone was worried, like, what are we going to do without Ugo Amadi manning the nickel spot for the Saints? He's back. Don't you fret. Don't you worry. He has returned. He's going to be on this roster for at least training camp. They signed him to a one-year deal. Good news, right?
Hey, man, I think that's a good piece. We've seen play, and we know what he can do. And I'm not saying as a starter, but I think a guy in a pinch that could fill in for you in some other roles is a good comeback. I don't mind. You know, it wasn't a major deal that you inked him to.
Yeah, I'm just joking. I have no issue with it. I thought Ugo played reasonably well. I thought
you were
well.
Like carrying this angst into, I was like, the Ugo signing. I'm like, what you got wrong with Agent Zero?
No, Ugo's fine. I mean, Ugo's what he is. Yeah, I don't think you want to be starting him, but I think
right. In
a pinch, he's not a bad guy to have on this roster. So no, I'm just joking. Like that's really what this offseason has been, though. It's been low level versions of what people probably want, which is exciting signings that they think is going to change things. And in reality, this is going to be a lot more of the same this year, with ideally a scenario that you don't have to start Ugo Amadi because not everyone on your defense is hurt, right? Like, that's what you're hoping for. And from the perspective of, hey, I've got a guy who can play inside, outside, who can fill in at safety if I need him, not a terrible guy to have as a depth piece. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts this season again on the practice squad like he has each of the last two seasons and then worked his way up. But that's that signing, and not really a ton to talk about. I still think I would love to bring in a rookie who can man the slot, you know, like we talked about in the mock draft. I brought in Jahdae Barron, who would be my day one, week one starter in the slot position. So I wouldn't mind doing that. But right now, I don't think you have a slot corner. So, maybe you say Alante's back in there and you move Ike Yadam to the outside, but I don't want to do that either. So we'll see. But
I think Alante obviously wants to be an outside guy too.
Yeah, no question. We've talked about that. Yeah. So let's move on. The actual signing that is of note, because I think this is a guy you're going to hear a lot about this season, the same way Lucas Patrick ended up being a guy we talked about constantly last year after kind of a late free agency signing. Dylan Radins, one-year deal, former North Dakota State Bison, also a second-round pick of the Titans back in 2021. If you were wondering, yes, he is a Senior Bowl guy. It's funny because when I look at when the Saints sign guys like this, I always do kind of a deep dive on Twitter to see what people are saying about him. If you're a fan of Locked On Saints, Ross Jackson was a big fan of Dylan Radins coming out of the Senior Bowl in 2021. He wanted to be a first-round pick. So if you've listened, I haven't listened to Ross talk about it, but I'm sure Ross is going to be happy about this signing because he was big on him in 2021. He's a guy who's played left tackle, left guard, right tackle in 2024. He started, I want to say, 15 games at right guard. 2023, he started, I think, 11 games at right tackle. He did play on the left side in college. He was a left tackle at North Dakota State. So that is kind of a natural move for him to get him over to left guard. I don't think that's going to be the issue. And right now, I mean, I kind of see it similar to the Davon Godshaw trade, right? Where you get a guy in who's got a ton of experience, has started a bunch of games, and you're not paying him a ton of money. So right now, he would be just like Devon's my penciled in nose tackle. I think Dylan Radins would be my penciled in left guard starter.
Yeah, and a good, you know, competition, I think, for a guy like Nick Saldivari to push him maybe a little more. And I know injuries have been an issue with Nick.
Yeah, and I think that's why you can't just go in. Like, if Nick had played most of last season as the starter and stayed healthy and done whatever, I think you would have gone into this offseason saying, hey, it's Nick's job to lose.
Right.
Now it's like, I don't think you can go into this offseason without a viable starting option at left guard. And I think Dylan is that. Like, you didn't want to spend a ton of money and you didn't. You know, I am interested to see what this contract comes in at, because you're right on the fringe of, hey, so you're currently projected for a fourth round comp pick for Paulson Adebo. So the Brandon Cooks deal, which you haven't talked about yet, but the Brandon Cooks contract canceled out MVS. So that would be your seventh round comp pick. Will Harris canceled out Justin Reed for the Saints. So you still are on that line of Paulson Adebo netting you a fourth round comp pick. If you end up with another compensatory free agent, then that would all bump up and you would lose that line where you would be projected for a fourth round pick. So if this contract comes in the $3 million range, which I think it probably will, then you're safe on that line. If it comes in over $3.5 million, closer to $4 million, even higher than that, then that would end up being a compensatory free agent and that would all bump up. So that's an important number. You know, these other signings the Saints have had, they do not climb into that range. Ike Yiadom is about $3 million annual value. I think that's why he got a 3-year deal when you look at it. And I think that's when you look, okay, why does a guy get the contract he gets? Because the comp pick formula is by average per year. And by making it a 3-year, $9 million deal, it falls below that threshold. If it was a 2-year, $9 million deal, it would have climbed up above it. So just something to keep in mind.
They don't. Would they be able to potentially get anything for Lucas Patrick going to the Bengals or nah?
No, because it all falls below the threshold of like average per year and where, you know, like there's a lot of basically any contract under $3 million right now per year is not gonna land. I think the cutoff, the highest APY for any non-compensatory free agent at this point is Tremont Smith, who at $3.25 million. So as long as it's in that range, you'll be fine. I also wouldn't be surprised if that's part of the reason you gave Brandon Cooks a 2-year deal rather than a 1-year deal versus for worth whatever. Because like a 1-year $10 million deal would have probably offset a Debo, and then you would be stuck with the seventh round pick. So the Saints have never been a team that operates with the goal of protecting comp picks. But I think now in the range you're in terms of these picks become way more valuable as you try to rebuild, I wouldn't be surprised if that strategy has shifted a little bit.
Yeah, you got to stock that cupboard.
So kind of moving forward, one other thing I want to talk about. So we did mention Brandon Cooks, 2 years, $13 million. We'll talk about that a lot more in the next segment. But the Saints rolled deep down to the Miami Hurricanes Pro Day this week. And, you know, the funny thing is everyone's talking about, wow, they're going there to see Cam Ward. And sure. That's probably true. You're going down there and you're getting a really good look at Cam Ward. What's funny to me is no one's talking about like, hey, there's a lot of players on this on this Miami Hurricanes team that are going to get drafted.
Forget about like, Restrepo.
There's more. Well, right. Like, it's not just Cam Ward that they're down there to see, but you know, like there is definitely some level of, hey, you're sending all these guys down there. You're taking Gale's private jet. And yes, absolutely. You're going to get a good look. They sent, you know, Mickey Loomis, Jeff Ireland, Kellen Moore, Doug Nussmeier, Brandon Staley, which would indicate, hey, you're looking at some defensive players too, Brendan Nugent, and then a couple scouts. So, you know, the question becomes, hey, could the Saints potentially trade up for Cam Ward? Like, what would your reaction be? Like, if the Saints did pull the trigger and say, we're all in, we are going to go get Cam Ward, what would your reaction be?
Clearly, Kellen Moore believes like he's that dude. And the package, though, that you're sending to the Titans, man, you are putting you're obviously a franchise in a huge bind with the amount of capital you're just giving up, or I should say, using as ammunition to trade up for that number one pick. But I mean, you have to be completely and utterly sold on Cam Ward, I think, in this situation to pull a move like this off.
Yeah, I think it's got to be more than Kellen Moore thinks he's that dude. It's like the entire organization would have to think
he's everybody's that dude. Enamored with him.
Like Kellen Moore could love the guy, but if the scouts are like, we don't really like this, we don't like this, we don't like this, then I don't think he may. Like it would have to be complete alignment from the top down in order to make that stand up. Because like, you know, what you mentioned it, like what is the package you would have to be sending? And it's massive. Anytime you trade up to number one from anywhere, it's going to be massive. But from, you know, if you're moving up from 3 to 1, like for the Giants to trade up from where they are to get Cam Ward, it would be one package. To go twice as far, it's going to be a much bigger package, right? And that's what she said. But so, you know, I went and I looked, okay, what are the examples of trades up to the number one spot and where do you balance it out? And the interesting thing is a lot of times you'd be looking at, well, it's similar to this. This team traded up from 11 or so. So you would say, well, they don't have to give up quite as much, blah, blah, blah. And you can maybe get some back, scrape something back in that conversation of like, well, let's talk about it. In this case, there is an exact replica of this trade from 2 years ago.
Right.
When the Fresh. Panthers, who were set to pick at number 9, traded up to number 1 to get Bryce Young. So, like, if I'm the Titans, I'm saying we're going to start there. That's our starting point.
Hell yeah.
Because it's 2 years ago. You know, and honestly, it's interesting because the last two number one picks have technically been by a trade because in that pick, the Panthers gave up DJ Moore, first off, so a established NFL wide receiver. The 9th overall pick, the 61st overall pick, which was the second round pick, but so that would be a little lower than what the Saints would have to give up in terms of their 40 pick. Then a 2024 first and a 2024 second. That first rounder ended up being like the worst case scenario is you end up picking number one overall and giving that pick away, and that's what happened. So yep. The Bears took Bryce Young. I'm sorry, the Bears took Caleb Williams. But so, like, what would that trade look like for the Saints? You know, if you want to keep it on the wide receiver track, you say, hey, Chris Olave. We're going to say it's Chris Olave in terms of that player. And then the ninth overall pick, obviously, the 40th overall pick. And then since you're giving away more value on the top end, you probably could say, like, ah, instead of a first and second next year, I'll give you a first and a third, something along those lines. You could also say, hey, maybe you could scrape back that number 40 pick, give away both thirds and say next year is a first and a second instead of a first and a third. But like, no matter what, that's going to be something along those lines in the package. And if you didn't want to give away a player and say all of its assets, then you probably say 9th overall, 40th overall, maybe your 4th round pick, and then next year's first and second to match that value. That's the type of package you'd be giving up.
He better be like a Joe Burrow.
Right. He would have to be. And so that puts so much pressure on the situation.
Right.
You know? If he ends, and that's why like the Panthers felt so hopeless, and they have a little bit more hope now based on how Bryce Young kind of played in year two.
Yeah.
But like, that's why it felt so hopeless for the Panthers. Cause it was like, okay, the guy you drafted isn't doing anything worthwhile and you have no picks.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Build around him. So
right. And I don't either. Like I said, like you mentioned, I said just Kellen Moore being, you know, enthralled with this guy, but it would have to be a hell of a lot more. Kellen, whatever assistance, Mickey, you know, even probably Miss Gale would, you know, after meeting him and whatever private meetings they've had, it was like, we have to have this guy as the face of our franchise.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay, do the Titans want him as the face of their franchise? Because if they do, then it's a non-starter because they're going to take him. So the Titans have that inherent, like in a lot of instances, the team trading might have some leverage if the number one overall pick is a team like that has a quarterback, right? If for example, this year the Bears had ended up number one overall again, they would have been like, well, we know you're not taking that quarterback, right? So there's going to be inherent value in you trading out. Because you don't need that quarterback. In this case, they can viably say, like, no, we could just draft him. Like, we don't have to take your offer. We can just so we like there the market creates itself. Like the bidding war is actually between the Saints and the Titans, and not the Saints and anyone else, which is a tough situation to be in. That's why, like, if you could trade Derek Carr in this scenario, it might actually work. But the problem is the Saints couldn't functionally do that until after June 1st. So it would end up having to be like a handshake, wink, wink, nod, nod agreement. And I don't even know if that's allowed. Genuinely, I've never seen that happen.
Right.
Because the Saints functionally could not operate if they had to take his entire $68 million cap hit prior to 2026, which is what would happen unless you waited until after June 1st. And then you could get by with $19 million of it this year and $58 million of it next year. But it would probably grease the skids on some compensation from the Titans because you would have paid his old salary, basically, and they would only have to pay him a minimum deal. I don't know. I don't think that's going to be a part of the equation. I don't think the Saints are going to trade for Cam Ward, but a couple other. So it's only happened three times since 2001. The other two times were in 2016. The Titans did trade the number one overall pick to the Rams, who went and drafted Jared Goff. That same year, the Eagles traded up to number two to get Carson Wentz. So the number one and two picks got traded.
What a QB class.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, it's interesting because Jared Goff has been really good, but probably not good enough to justify that trade. He did get the Rams to a Super Bowl, and we all remember that one fondly. But in that trade, the Rams sent the number 15 overall pick, and they're going a lot further up. They're six picks further to trade. They gave away the number 15 overall pick, the number 43 overall pick, the number 45 overall pick, which ended up being Derrick Henry, a third rounder, number 76 overall, and then a 2017 first and a 2017 third. So it's quite a bit. And so it's actually really impressive that they did get to a Super Bowl considering how many asses they gave up. 2001 is the other. It was the Falcons trading up for Michael Vick. They only had to go from number five to number one. And they sent, obviously, the number five pick, which ended up being LaDainian Tomlinson. And then a third round pick, which is 67th overall. And then a 2002 second. So, you know, you take half the distance away and it becomes a much less expensive trade. So, like, the Giants could probably make a trade more like this. And the reason the Titans might say, like, I'd rather take the Giants trade if they have something on the table of this range, because then I could still go and get Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter or somebody, rather than dropping down to nine is a much more difficult proposition of like, yeah, we're not getting Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. We're getting maybe a Will Campbell or something like that. So, like, that's all working against the Saints in that the Titans could feasibly just take Cam Ward and say, I don't care. The Giants could offer a better deal and force the Saints to have to give up even more. And then even if that neither of those things happen, you would still have to pony up a massive package for this potential trade. So all this is to say, don't hold your breath.
Don't hold your breath. I mean, like I said, I think it would be a lot different if everybody was just gaga over this guy. But the problem is then obviously he definitely has a lot more suitors as well.
I think it would be different if it was like last year and there was three or four quarterbacks in that range that you could potentially take. The problem is there's only one. So like, it's not like the Giants can just sit there and say, hey, we'll be fine with whoever falls to us. Like, we're not going to waste assets going up and getting this guy when we feel like this guy is as capable. In this case, it's like anyone who wants to go get Cam Ward is going to be in that discussion. And the Saints are, by their standards, pick rich in this draft, but not by the standards you would look at of, like, you know, one of the reasons the Eagles were so aggressive in their trades over the last couple of years is they had so many picks to throw on the Saints. It's like the fact that they have all of their original picks, or most of their original picks plus a third, is like, wow.
Whoa, right.
Like, they have all their original picks for next year. Still great. That one would not be the case.
That was one of the cases, too, for, I know the salary cap nightmare was a big one talked about, and everybody was so scared of the Saints organization. But the fact that the trove of picks was still pretty well intact wasn't that disgusting of a destination.
For
any head coach coming in. It wasn't like, I don't have any picks to work with.
Yeah, I mean, that's helpful. Like when Sean Payton arrived in Denver by virtue of his own presence, you know, like, all those picks were gone. And you're also giving Kellen the pieces he needs to at least have a fighting chance. That's what's happening this offseason, right? You are not throwing Kellen completely to the wolves, but you're also operating within the realm of, like, okay, what's reasonable? and how can we set ourselves up for success in the future rather than pretending it's all about this year? And I don't think trading everything to go get Cam Ward is that.
Unless they think he's Jaden Daniels.
Right. You would have to view him as like the Andrew Luck level prospect, right?
Yeah.
And sure. And here's the thing. If he was that, the Titans would feel that way too. Like, if he was such an immensely above the shoulders prospect that you can't, that you have to go get him, then what are the Titans doing?
Yeah, think about the nightmare they've had drafting.
Yeah, right. And Bill Callahan's probably like, is it Brian Callahan? Which one's the I always forget because Bill and Brian are both on there. One of them's the head coach and one of them's the dad who's like the offensive line coach. Right, but either way, whichever Callahan is going to get fired, if they continue to suck, is probably going to be like, why are we giving him to them? Like I want the quarterback. Anyway, that's it. Anything else you want to add on that before we move on?
No, but like we said, there's plenty of more action from, you know, to check out at that Miami Pro Day, other than the big quarterback stud that I know everybody's salivating over.
Yeah. Restrepo and some of these other guys. Look, that was a good Miami team. Like there's some talent. I think the tight end is hurt. I don't think the tight end is worked out.
No, I think he did run the 40.
Did he run the 40, Elijah? Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I could see them looking at. The last time the Saints went to Miami for a tight end, it worked out pretty well. So, yeah. And then it's like, and we're
is just he a kinda, former basketball player?
That's a good question. He's not 6'8", I can say that much. But all right, let's wrap up this segment. We're going to come back. We're going to dive in to the Brandon Cooks signing. We're going to hear from Brad Sham, who's the voice of the Cowboys. Watch Brandon Cooks play the last 2 years. The halfway archer, because I don't think you're allowed to fully arch anymore. You can only pull it out. We'll hear from Brandon Cooks and what he had to say in his quick interview with the media. We're also talking to him on WWL this afternoon. So if you want to go check out that interview, I'll probably have Aaron prior to this video, this podcast posting, but you can find it on WWL.com or wherever you get your podcast. So definitely go check. But otherwise, we will be coming right back. This is Inside Black and Gold. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. Stick around.